Hey guys, we have a really cool deal. We've got a couple people in our church that are graduating, and this dude is one of them. So we just kind of wanted to, I want to pray for you. When do you graduate?
Thursday.
Your life's about to change, brother. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so we just, come here, man, I don't bite. Okay, so let's try this one. We're going to pray over Jesse. And we've got Becky that graduated as well. She graduated with her master's. She's not here today. She's out of town. So she graduated with her master's in social work. And so you graduated your master's in what? High school?
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, look, join me in praying over Jesse. We're gonna include Becky in that prayer as well. Sorry, I threw you on the spot, man. He's just like, thanks a lot, man. And then we just got a gift for you. So Father, we love you. We thank you for those that you're doing some cool things in their lives, God. And we thank you for Jesse and his heart and how he's jumped in and serving here at Authentic Life, God. We pray, Lord, that we as a church, as his church, would be an encouragement to him. And Becky as well, God, we pray for her as she's on vacation right now. But God, that you would be with her as well, that these guys would take their education and just go out into the world and love like you would have them love, God. Help them continue to seek you in all they do. So God, we love you. We love these guys and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go, brother. Thanks, man. Oh, you guys shook your hand. All right. How is everybody this morning? Hey, in case you didn't know, at the end of your row, you have a binder. If you could fill that binder out and just kind of let us know of your attendance, your presence, your gift of showing up today. Just kind of let us know that you're here. We'd greatly appreciate that. And also in there, you've got a little card in there as well. If you need to have a prayer request or if there's something to sign up for, something like that, you can do that there as well. So today we're going to dive into a new series called The Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of introduce it in a way that Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples, out of John chapter 14, verse 15 and 17. So if you guys have your Bibles, we'll have that up there as well. But if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get that ready. My heart's kind of heavy this morning. We lost some young people yesterday. You know, they didn't go here. They're just had some people lose their life in a car accident yesterday. And we're seeing that, man, a lot. Just so what's the Travis and what's the gal's name? Do we know? Madison? 18 and 16, right? Man, so keep their families in your prayer today and it's gonna fit what we're talking about today. And man, it should energize us and help us realize what's at stake when people's eternity, when we're talking about people's eternity and their salvation. You know, parents say goodbye to their kiddos that morning and they don't see them again. So let's keep that family in our prayers this morning, or both families. Feeling lonely is a pretty common feeling in our world today. You know, our houses seem to get closer and closer, right? I mean, I grew up where we had, you know, like a house links, and now you can like touch each other's houses. But even as we're closer and closer to our neighbors, we can often find ourselves feeling like we don't know anybody, like no one cares, like no one knows that we even exist. Many in this room, or maybe you're listening online this morning, have felt in recent past or in the past, or maybe right now you're feeling lonely. Maybe there are people that have a fear of being alone. And I want to read you a letter this morning that an actual individual wrote trying to express their feelings to God. They wrote out a prayer to God and it says this: "Oh Lord, I feel lost at this time in my life. I am lonely and empty, feel unloved. I think of life ahead of me and fear facing the future. Each day I wake up hoping for a purpose to face the day and live life. And all that meets me is a sense of emptiness and a deep wish to be loved. I've heard from and talked to many believers and non-believers that have expressed this exact same thing. Just this feeling of emptiness and loneliness, and like we're doing life on our own. We don't know what our purpose is. Think with me for a moment, just within yourselves, think with me for a moment, somebody that you would consider a close or your closest companion. It may be your husband or your wife. maybe a parent or a child. It may be a really good friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's your pet, right? Jessica and I were at a restaurant, about a year ago, and we were asking this gal, I said, hey, we're going to pray before our meals or something we could pray for you for. And she said, she got tears in her eyes once she found out we were serious. And she said, yeah, I just put my puppy down. You know, that was my companion. You know, so we stopped and we prayed for her. So, you know, think about that person or that pet in your life that's your closest companion. And we can look back to the beginning of Scripture and see that we were not intended. We need companions. Amen, right? We need companions. We can see back through Scripture that we were not intended to do life by ourselves, to do it alone. And God created Adam, and then He said to him, He said, man, it is not good for you, Adam, to be alone. And He created for him a helpmate, a wife to be with Adam. All of us need a companion. We need to be in a relationship, and we desire a companion that is real. We've had those friends that aren't real, right? We've had those people in our lives that you just can't rely on. We want someone that's reliable, someone that we can trust, share our good times with, and our bad times. Right? It seems like when we hit those bad times, those companions are gone. But sometimes we need those people, those companions in our life. And Jesus, this is great, Jesus also understood the importance of companionship and relationship. Jesus, while He was here on earth, called 12 men to follow Him for 3 years of His life, 3 intense years. And even though, while these men were following Him, even though they didn't understand everything that He was doing and that He was teaching them, these disciples, man, they were following Him, they were companions with Him, and they forged a close bond, a close relationship with Jesus, and they couldn't imagine doing life without Him. Man, I feel that way about Jessica. Now, I do feel that way about our Lord, right? But I feel that way about Jessica too, man. When she's gone, or if I'm gone and I'm laying there and she's not there, you just kind of feel that sense that someone's missing, right? And so they couldn't imagine life without Jesus. These men, they fished together, they ate together, they did ministry together. These people did life together, day after day after day. And not long before Jesus is to be arrested and beaten and die on the cross, He tells His friends, His companions, and His disciples that He has to leave them, but He's not abandoning them. And remember, Jesus understands their need of companionship and our need for companionship. Jesus promises His disciples that they will not be alone, and we get to carry that promise as well. So I want us to kind of carry that today as we go through this sermon. We look through our text, and this is on your notes on the back of your bulletin. Just kind of carry this with you, that we will not be alone. We will not be alone. This morning we begin a new series focusing on the Holy Spirit. And today, really our focus is going to be just kind of introducing the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to tell you, for some people, it's going to be the first time, right? It's not something we talk about a whole lot in churches today. So we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit for the next 3 weeks. Growing up, I remember being taught about the Trinity. Or maybe you hear about like the Godhead, 3-in-1, right? The Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And think about this. When we think about it, we can understand God the Father, right? We can wrap our brain around that idea a little bit. I can look at my dad, I can look at my role, you know, you guys as dads, we can look at that and we can say, okay, my dad's not perfect, but I get that idea of him playing that role in my life. So we hear teaching about God the Father. So we're not going to completely understand the complexity of God the Father, but we can kind of understand who He is and His role. And then we look to God the Son, which is who, church? Oh, good. Man, we got some participation today. I love it. Okay, so we look to God the Son, which is Jesus. We hear Christ-centered teaching. Our goal at this church is to be faithful to the Word of God, to preach and teach of Jesus, also the Father, and then also the Holy Spirit, which we're going to do today. So we hear Christ-centered teaching. We sing Christ-centered songs. We celebrate, right, His birth and His resurrection. And we can relate a bit because he was alive on earth, right? I mean, He was here, so we can relate to that. Then we come to the Holy Spirit. Anybody call Him the Holy Ghost growing up? Anybody ever do that, right? Yeah, okay, we got a few. So we did that growing up, and then we started calling Him the Holy Spirit. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit. So I knew of the Holy Spirit. Knew that He was part of the Trinity. Knew that He existed. Knew that He had a role. But I didn't really understand the why, the how, or the who of the Holy Spirit. You guys, we get some amens on that one, right? I mean, sometimes we just don't talk about Him a whole lot, for whatever reason. So who is the Holy Spirit? And we plan on spending the next 3 weeks covering the Holy Spirit and answering many questions, as many as we can in these 3 weeks. But in short, here's what I do want people to understand. How do we answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? In short, He's God. The Holy Spirit is God, just as the Father and Son are God. Don't miss that this morning. He's not just I don't mean to offend anybody with this, but just biblical truth. He's not just the breath of God. Right? He's not just the actions of God. He is God. Hey, Bill. Just like seeing you all smile sometimes. I may say hi to you a couple times. I don't know, man. But He is God, just as the Father and Son are God. He always has been, and He always will be. And He's even introduced to us in the very, very early in the Bible. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, I think we have it up here, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then what's it say? And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was involved from the beginning of creation. In fact, as we look throughout Scripture, we see that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present and involved in creation from the beginning. You guys with me? Are we on the same page? Man, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. I love that song. Yeah, right. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Right? We get to hang out in the presence of Him. So I want to go back to our text this morning. Jesus is telling His disciples that He is leaving them. He's telling them, where I'm going. In chapter 13, He says, I am with you a little while longer, and where I am going, you cannot come. And they start to converse about that. What does that mean? Where are you going? Why can't I get there? I'm going to follow you wherever you go. So we know that Jesus is going to leave them. And so I want us to look at how Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to His disciples. If you guys would look in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. At this point, these disciples do not fully understand why, but they know Jesus has been reiterating to them that He's going to leave them. They don't really understand what all that looks like. In fact, you see Him struggle through that even after His death, right? We see them struggle with that, which kind of gives me comfort, because those people like experienced all this stuff, and they still, we got Doubting Thomas, right? So when we wrestle with our faith sometimes, it's just awesome to know that the people that were hanging out with Jesus wrestled as well. And at this point, these men don't fully understand, but they know Jesus is leaving. In fact, in much of chapter 14, Jesus is offering comfort to these men, and He's preparing them for His departure. His work on earth is about to be done, and theirs is really just about to begin. Their lives are about to be radically changed. They have followed Him, they have served Him, and they have served with Him. They gave up everything to follow Him and be with Him, and He is now saying, see you later, right? Catch that, see you later, right? Jesus is coming back, amen, church? We get to celebrate that. Man, we got to say amen to that one. Jesus is coming back, amen, church? And we need Him, man. We need Him to come back. So we can understand, if we put ourselves in the place of these disciples, we can understand their pain and their confusion. But let's not forget, it is Jesus that's about to lay down His life. And I love this part, this section about Jesus. And I know that we're focusing on the Holy Spirit this morning for the next so many weeks. But I don't want to miss the compassion and love that Jesus shows here to these people. Jesus is the one that's about to suffer and die. And what do we find Him doing? He's comforting those that He's leaving behind. He sees their heart. If we skip ahead, don't do this, I'll read it for you, it should be up on the screen. If we skip ahead to chapter 16, beginning in verse 5, Jesus says this, but now I am going to Him, speaking of the Father who has sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Man, I love that Jesus just, he knows our heart. Amen, right, church? And but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. They should be asking Jesus at this point, where exactly are you going? How do I get to where you're going? What's going to happen to you, right? He's kind of been helping them understand that, but they just haven't been catching it. And at this point, Jesus, he knows that things are scary for them. He knows it's a little bit confusing for him. And even though he's the one that's about to suffer, he is the one that's offering the comfort. The comfort that Jesus is promising to them and to us, church, is the Holy Spirit. That's in your notes this morning. The Holy Spirit is, as we see in our text, He is the comforter and our helper. Look with me in our chapter 14 in our text today, verses 16 through 17. Jesus says this, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. There's a few important words that I want us to walk through this morning. The Bible says that Jesus will leave them another helper or another comforter. Anybody in the Bible say something different? Maybe advocate, right? He says He's going to leave them another helper or another comforter, another advocate. The first word that I want us to look at is another. And this isn't talking about a simple replacement. Right, when I think about replacement, I think about, you know, I'm a guy. Well, girls think about sports too, but man, football, right? And you got this quarterback. Who do you want as your quarterback? You want your starter, right? When the replacement comes in, you're like, oh boy, right? Because he's not as good as a starting quarterback. Does that make sense? He's not as good. The replacement isn't as good. When you bring in, okay, we've got this guy, but now we're going to bring in another quarterback. And you're like, great. Who is it, Levi? You know, is Levi going to play quarterback today? No? Okay, good. All right, so, but here's the thing. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated as another. The first word means another of a different kind. But it's really cool that John doesn't use that word here, or actually Jesus doesn't use that word here, because John uses the word another that means of the same kind. Of the same kind. Jesus is saying that another will take my place. Check this out, church. One that is equal, equally perfect, equally capable, equally valuable, and equally God. Right? The Holy Spirit isn't some second fiddle, man. He is fully God. So when we look at another, we know that He is equal, right? Different roles, but He's equal. He's equally God. The second word to look at this morning, or title, is the word or name helper. And again, depending on your translation, it may say helper, advocate, comforter. And this word comes from the Greek word paraclete. And really it's saying He is the paraclesis, the one who stands by our side, or the one who comes, who is called alongside to help. Jesus is saying to them, yes, I am about to leave you, but I have no intention of leaving you alone or bringing in some second fiddle, second string quarterback, right? He's not saying that. Or I'm not going to bring in somebody that's less capable. The Holy Spirit, He's telling them, will take my place and He will come alongside of you. He will comfort you. He will help you. He will intercede for you. So we get to carry that idea that we're not alone. Jesus has left another helper to be with these disciples and with us. So we've looked at another, right? Another of the same kind, equal, and then helper or advocate. And now I want us to look at this next phrase. I want us to make sure we don't miss what the Bible says here. Jesus says, He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Make sure you catch this part. That He may be with you for how long, church? Forever. To be with you is that phrase, to be with you, literally translated to mean that He will exist with you. And that's followed up by the very important word, forever. Permanent. We've all had companions in our life, whether it's a spouse or a friend or even a pet. That's, you know, my heart's heavy this morning, and we should, man, make sure we're praying for those families, right? But you have parents that get that phone call that says, man, you know, your son, your daughter is no longer with us. Or maybe you've gotten that phone call that says your dad or your mom or your spouse or your best friend or your neighbor is no longer with us. So we've had those companions in our life, whether it's a spouse, a friend, or maybe it's even your pet, but many of us have lost companions. Maybe it's they've moved away, maybe that relationship split, right, or they've passed away, but for whatever reason, you no longer have that companion in your life. I think all of us can relate to that a bit, right? And Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Will never leave us. And when we look to Jesus and believe in Him, here's a little bit of the gospel right here, right? When we look to Jesus, church, and we believe in Him, believe that He is God, and believe that He came and lived a perfect, sinless life for us. When we believe that He came and that He died on the cross for our sins, and then 3 days later, right, He rose again, and He conquered death, and He conquered sin, and he gives us eternal life, and we turn away from our sins. Church, when we place our trust, our hope, our eternal lives in Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to be our immediate helper. Our immediate helper. The Holy Spirit is with us to stay. Which leads us to that next note. The Holy Spirit is permanent. Forever. He's with us permanently. He's forever. To these men that Jesus is talking to me, each of us in this room, this should be of great comfort. I think of relationships where I've had to walk around on eggshells before, right? I don't have to walk on eggshells fearing that the Holy Spirit, that God will leave me. And I want to make sure that we get that, because sometimes when we carry around this idea of a religion or that I'm religious or something like that, it's about working, and we work and we work and we work to make sure that Jesus or the Holy Spirit of God never leaves us. But we have that promise that He is permanent. We don't have to compare this relationship with others like that you've had to walk around fearing that they're going to leave you at any moment. You gotta walk around on eggshells and be careful. We know that He's permanent. So, man, I just go back to that verse, man, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? In the midst of our sins, we are offered that salvation. Jesus doesn't say, go get your life right, right? He doesn't say, go wash yourself clean, go make sure you're perfect and then come to me, while we were yet sinners. So even when we sin as believers, the Holy Spirit is not going to leave us. And Jesus tells them, I am going, but I will send another that is equally God. And He will never leave you. And the Holy Spirit has promised to be with them forever. Don't miss us this morning, church. For us this morning, when we place our trust, we must place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then we can carry that promise of forever. I just want you guys to get that this morning, because there's too many teachings out there that teach otherwise. But we have that promise that we will never be left alone, that He's with us forever. The last word to point out here is from verse 17. It states this, "But you know Him because He abides with you, and will be," what, church? "In you." The helper, that comfort, that advocate. Man, I just love this about our amazing God. We don't serve a God that is the big man upstairs. Okay? We don't serve a God that is this distant Moses-looking guy. Right? I don't know what He looks like. But, you know, we don't serve a God that is distant. Amen, church? Man, we don't serve a God that is different. Or different. He's different. We don't serve a God that is distant. We don't serve a God that is just, I do know how to talk, people. I'm just having a little bit of issue this morning, I guess. We don't serve a God that is distant. The helper, the comforter, He's not going to be distant. You know, just, He's not going to be far away from us. Jesus had spent much time with these men, doing life with them, walking with them, serving with them, living with them. But once Jesus dies, He's raised from the dead, and then He goes to be with the Father, just as it was foretold. And the Holy Spirit then comes and will reside within them. Jesus has been actively involved from the get-go. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit has been actively involved from the get-go with people that have believed God and that have followed God. But Jesus is telling them that something new is coming. Something new is going to happen. What's He doing? He's pointing to the day of Pentecost, found in Acts 2, right? That Jesus will have already ascended into heaven. And the day of Pentecost in the Bible in Acts 2, chapter 2, talks about when the Holy Spirit comes as promised to dwell within us. So yes, He will be with you. He will abide with you. But the new thing that Jesus is talking about is this promise that He will be in you. He will be in you. Who will this Holy Spirit be in? The Holy Spirit resides within each believer. It's important for us to get that this morning, that He resides within each believer. Those that have trusted Christ for their salvation, made Jesus Lord of their life. That's who He resides in. I was able to have two conversations with people this week and hear about how they trusted Christ as their Savior. Right? It's just amazing sitting there having people share their testimony. That was you, man. Yeah, we just get to hear people share their testimony. By the way, Luke wants to know something. If there's no death in heaven, how will we eat meat? Okay? Luke presented that question to me. So, man, I don't. Well, I'll go back to seminary, man, to study that, man. I don't know. But okay, so. But it's just amazing hearing other people share how they trusted Christ, when Jesus saved them, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And those people have the Holy Spirit residing within them. We, if you have trusted Christ, if you have been saved, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, resides within you. And sadly, many don't realize or remember that He's even there. You guys with me this morning? Some people, sometimes we don't remember or realize that the Holy Spirit, that God resides within each and every believer. So here's a question for you this morning. Do you recognize the presence of God that lives within you? If you know Jesus, the presence of God lives within you. Are you missing out on the richness that lives within you? I've referenced this story once before, but I want to share this story in full with you this morning, just so you guys can understand a little bit what I'm talking about. During the Great Depression, there was a sheep ranch owner in Texas. His name was Mr. Yates. And this man struggled to make it. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his own ranching and his own work to pay the principal and interest on the bills that he owed. So this man was in danger of losing everything he had. With little money for food or clothes, his family, like many others at that time, had to live on assistance. And day after day, he went out there and faithfully worked and grazed with his sheep over the West Texas hills, and he was no doubt worried how he would pay his bills. You guys with me this morning? I mean, just think about that, going through that time. And then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him that there might be oil on his land. And they asked permission to drill a well, and he went ahead and signed that lease contract. He's like, man, what do I have to lose, right? And then at 1,150 feet, this group struck a huge oil reserve. Check this out. That first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells, more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years later, after the discovery of that first well, a government test of one of the wells showed that it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels of oil a day. Mr. Yates owned all of this. The day he purchased that land, he had the rights to all of this. Yet he had been living on government relief and just assistance that whole time. You had a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem is he didn't even know the oil was there, although he owned it. So I want to tell you today, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, and if you do, this will happen. If you believe, the moment you believe in Jesus and repent and turn away from your sins and make Jesus Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you and wants to live a life with you. And as Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, and I want to let you guys know this morning, you're not alone. In this story, Mr. Yates, he lived in poverty all while possessing millions and wasn't even aware of it. Many Christians are like Mr. Yates. They have the Holy Spirit living within them, yet they don't even realize it, and they live in spiritual poverty. Think about this. Many, maybe some in this room, know what Christ wants from them. You guys with me? We know what the Bible says. We know what Christ expects of us. And yet we find ourselves with our heads down. thinking, man, I can't do what the Lord is asking me to do. You ever find yourself, right? Like knowing that Jesus sacrificed, He gave up everything for us and asked us to do, to sacrifice and to give and to serve and to share Jesus. Yet we walk through life feeling that you're unable to do what God wants you to do. And I'm going to tell you, man, Satan is a big jerk. I don't even know how to say it. I like to call him jerk face, man. I mean, Satan just wants to get in there and mess with your head and think that you can't do what God has called you to do. He shames us. Man, you've got this sin in your life. Man, you're worthless, right? You don't have the skill set. You're introverted like me, right? Okay? You just don't go out and share with people. And he wants you to think that you're worthless and you can't do what God has called us to do. Do you ever find yourself, you know, hearing a message or reading the scripture with a response of you're reading scripture and it's very clear. Jesus says, go and do this. And you respond with like, I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. That's not for me. I can't do what Jesus is asking us to do. I want you to look back. Well, I'll just walk through this with you. Check this out with me. If you look back to Luke, we see in chapter 4, verse 1, and also in verse 14, in the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, the Holy Spirit was with and on Jesus and leading Jesus through all of this. Everything He did was with the Holy Spirit. And then, in our text this morning, we see almost like a relay race. Right? Anybody in track ever pass that baton? Passing of the baton. And Jesus is passing the baton to His disciples in regards to ministry. Jesus is about to suffer and die and rise again and go be with His Father in heaven. And He is passing this baton on to His disciples. And really, He's passing it on to us. Right? He's passing it on to us as followers of Christ. And we get to see that as this baton is being passed on, Jesus is letting them know, this Holy Spirit that has been with me, this other part of the Trinity, this third person of the Trinity, the God, the Holy Spirit, He has been with me as I've been going on, and now He is going to be with you. And you will need Him. You will need Him. And Jesus has given us a commission. Right? A job to do. He's given us something to do, to be His preachers. Not like this, but to go and share, well, maybe like this, maybe so, right? And to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be His ambassadors, to be His witnesses. And many times people say, you know what? That's just not me. And the Bible says, you know what? Yes, it is. Right? And we got to understand that. The Holy Spirit does. He comes to comfort us and to live with us, within us, and to be there, to be God within us. But He also came to empower us to go and do. And I don't want to trample on Jay. Jay's going to be preaching next week on some of the works of the Holy Spirit. But man, He is. He's come to help us in the job and the commission that Jesus has called us to do. Many times, you know, people will say, man, just leave that job up to the pastor or to so-and-so. They're really good at that. The reality is this, it's the Holy Spirit that is really good at that. The Holy Spirit is good at leading us and equipping us and helping us as we share Jesus. So as Jesus lays out His marching orders, He lays out His commission for His disciples and for you and I, if we've accepted Christ, He says in Acts 1:8, a lot of times we just focus on the latter part of this, but check out this whole verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest part of the earth. So we have this idea that this we're to be witnesses. Witnesses of who, church? Of Jesus. The gospel, right? And not just in Jerusalem where they're at, or in Judea and Samaria, just a little bit out, but to the remotest parts, until there's nobody else that needs to hear about Jesus, you're to go and do that. And the disciples are like, man, that's going to freak me out. And He says, but hang on, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. The disciples were about to be given the Holy Spirit to reside within them, to give them the power to accomplish what Christ has called them to do. Don't forget that, church. Jesus has called us. Let's not miss this, man. The very first part of our vision statement, connect people to Jesus. Our job as this church, because of Jesus, not because of me or anybody else, the job of a believer is to share Jesus with other people. Amen, church? Right? So I don't mean to say this any harsh. I want to say as gracious as possible. Man, that excuse of, man, I'm just not, that's not me. Jesus says, yes, it is. and I have equipped you. I have given you the Holy Spirit so you can go and do my ministry, so you can love people, so you can serve people, and you can be my witnesses. And I've said this before, but it's so important when we look at that word witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. And here's what that means in the Greek. It means that you are carrying a message worth dying for. Right? You're willing to catch or to share a message worth dying for. Jesus has called us to share His gospel and make disciples. And it's not in our own power. Let's just kick that one out right now, right? When Satan's like gets that in your head, man, you can't do this. This is not you. You don't have the ability to do this. You never went to seminary. Heck, you just opened up your Bible for the first time in 2 weeks, right? Boom! You know, kick him out, right? And we just like, man, we can do this because we've got the Holy Spirit. That's free, okay? You guys can do that, right? Just kick the Holy Spirit. All right. Can you guys see that back there? Okay. All right. No, don't kick the Holy Spirit. Kick Satan. All right. This is authentic church, all right? So it's not in our own strength or even our own skill set. God has equipped each and every one of us to be His witnesses. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He sends us out into the world. Check this out, church. Not to sit back and let others share and preach about Jesus. He didn't save us so that we'd sit on our tushies and warm that seat up, right? He saved us so that we would go out and share and preach about Jesus. And He gives us the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do this job. So we're filled with the power. Think about that, church. We're filled with the power of God, but the Holy Spirit to accomplish what He's called us to do. So the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your helper, your advocate. And I want to throw this out there to you as well. No matter what you're going through right now, and that's the amazing part, He's right there with you, giving you the strength and the encouragement that you need. Whether it's serving God, right, sharing His gospel, or maybe it's just getting through that day. Right? Sometimes, if you guys don't know this about me, I struggle with anxiety pretty good. And sometimes you just don't want to get out of bed. Why? Because you think, man, and honestly, you know, about a year ago, I went through a hard time where I didn't want to get out of bed because I'd only got 3 or 4 hours of sleep because I was worried all night that I was going to die that next day. Something was going to happen and I wasn't going to have control over it. And the anxiety just overwhelmed me. So when you're struggling with that, if you're struggling with a loss, like these parents and friends are of these young people, or maybe you guys have lost somebody recently, right? And you're just like, man, this stinks. I don't want to go on through life. Whatever it is, we can know that He's right there to encourage you and to strengthen you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, man, we have that promise that you never walk alone. Friends and family, they might forsake you, right? But He never will. When loneliness comes, remember the One who lives within you. And He loves you, and His love will never falter. That's just amazing, church. His love, the love of God will never falter because His love, check this out. This is the difference between a religion and what we have with Jesus and God. His love will never falter because His love is not based on how good you are. His love is based on His own nature. God is love. You belong to God, your constant companion, once you've accepted Him and follow Him. And the One, you belong to Him, the One that will always be there. I want to talk very clearly to a few people today. If you don't know Jesus, if you've not, I'm not talking about you listen to K-Love or you have bumper stickers or wear cool little bracelets that have Bible stuff on them, right? Or that you go to church. Maybe you go every week. Maybe you go once every holiday or something like that. I'm talking about those that have actually placed their eternal lives in the hands of the capable Jesus. If you've not trusted Jesus for your salvation, not placed your faith in Jesus, the Bible says this of the Holy Spirit in verse 17. We can't miss this. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. The Holy Spirit is promised, church, to those that are saved, those that are followers of Christ, those that are not saved, those that have not given their life to Christ can't know the Holy Spirit. You can't have God within you. You cannot have the Holy Spirit within you. He cannot reside within you if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But he wants you, right? He wants to live within you. Jesus died for you. He's offered up eternal life, and he wants the Holy Spirit to be your helper, to be your companion. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, man, hear me clearly this morning. Man, is it time for you to stop running, right? Is it time for you to stop just saying, man, I've got, and I don't mean to use these young people as an example, but too many times we say, man, maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next day, or maybe when I'm 30 and when I have kids, when these days are over, right? Is it time for you to stop running away from Jesus and to give Him your life? And I love that song that we sang before the message this morning. It's a great reminder. Sometimes, even when we know that God, the Holy Spirit, resides within us, sometimes we forget to make Him a part of our lives or even our worship. We walk into church, we're dressed up or we're not, or whatever it is. We get our guides and we sit down and we just go through the motions, right? And we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is here. He's here. And we forget to kind of welcome that, to put ourselves in a posture to hear from Him. Jay's going to be preaching next week while my family's out of town, and he's going to be talking about the works of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. So I want to encourage you guys to be in prayer for Jay for next week. But he's going to cover this next week, but I want to point out something in our text this morning. Even when we are studying or reading the Word of God or hearing His Word be preached, we forget He's there, right? Sometimes we just kind of go through that motion. The Bible, in verse 17, calls Him the Spirit of Truth. He communicates truth to believers. He reveals truth to us. So we want to invite Him, right, to be a part of our day. He's already in within us, but we want to invite Him to be part of our day, to be part of our worship, to be part of our study. And apart, the Bible's clear, apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't know the truth. So be attentive to His presence in you this morning as you hear the Word of God preached. Listen to Him speak into your life. And we need to be reminded daily of His almighty presence and His goodness, knowing that He's there within us. And if you don't know Jesus, let me help you out. We won't embarrass anybody, but if you don't know Jesus, come and talk with somebody today. Just say, man, I'm ready to, or just talk to Him yourself, man. Say, I'm ready for Jesus. God has placed us in a mission field where over 90% of people don't know Jesus as their Savior. If that doesn't break your heart, church, I don't know what will. Are you guys with me? And we got the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and He just says, man, I'm here. Let's go. Let's go talk to people. Let's go share Jesus with people. God, we love You, and we thank You that You've placed us here, that You have given us the responsibility to be Your followers, to be Your witnesses. God, help us recognize that we have the power of God within us that equips us and empowers us and prepares us for the work that Jesus has given us. God, there are people that are here today that just need to feel the presence of God for whatever it is in their life. Maybe it's a problem in a relationship. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's depression or anxiety or whatever it may be, God. And they just need to feel the presence of God. So God, we pray, Lord, that You would make Yourself known to them today, that You are there, that You love them, that You're there to comfort them and to help them, to come alongside and to do life with them. And Father, I pray this morning, as You have called us to do, to connect people to Jesus, to make disciples. God, I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here today that has heard Your Word, not mine, but Your Word from the Bible, God, that they would say, you know what, I need Jesus. I want this Holy Spirit living inside of me. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I can't do it on my own. So God, I pray, Lord, You would break people's hearts today to say, I need Jesus. With Your eyes closed, if there's somebody here today that would just say, you know what, I need to feel God today. I need to feel the Holy Spirit's presence within me because I'm struggling. With eyes closed, if you do me that huge favor, would you slip your hands up and just say, you know, that's me. I need just to feel God today. Also, who to lift up their hand and say, you know what, I need to know Jesus. We won't embarrass you. But if that's you today, man, come and talk with me or somebody. God, we pray, Lord, that your presence would be felt within us. And God, we would be aware of that. And God, that we would use that to do what you have called us to do. Too many people right around us that are going to die and go to hell. Help us recognize the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, that has empowered us and strengthened us to share Jesus with people. This is not a religion we keep to ourselves. This is a relationship. This is a truth. This is a way of life. It's eternal life that we share with somebody. Be with us as we continue to worship this morning, God. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.